This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Paul and Macca. Our next guest is Dr. Chris Martin. Chris is the Senior Research Fellow at the City Futures Research Centre. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Not so bad. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Look, one of the issues that's come out of this awful COVID-19 is the situation with people who rent, residential renters.
Yep.
And the conflict, unfortunately, there seems to be arising, not in every case. You know, just as some tenants don't do the right thing, some landlords don't do the right thing, and we have a bit of a standoff. Government, the federal government and the state governments have effectively banned, although the federal government doesn't have power in that area, but the state governments have banned evictions for 12 months, which is a great thing. But what's happening is, you know, the tenant...
Not yet, they haven't.
Oh, they haven't actually done it yet,
we can talk about just where that's up to at the moment, because I think this is part of the confusion that's out there.
Okay, so I'd imagine, so in Victoria, for example, to get an eviction, is that done by the... by a tribunal, an eviction order?
Yeah, that's right. And that's the case throughout Australia. Under state and territory residential tenancy law, landlords who want to terminate a tenancy have to apply, well, they give a notice and then they can apply to a tribunal. In Victoria, it's VCAT. New South Wales, it's NCAT. So that's the usual process. Now, the National Cabinet has said, as of last week, there will be a moratorium on evictions, particularly evictions or eviction proceedings that would arise out of financial hardship relating to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, since that announcement, one state has got legislation, that's Tasmania, has legislated to implement a moratorium like that. The other states haven't quite done that, and I think they need to do so quickly to really make it effective, to make this moratorium effective. I think also they need to go broader than just the financial hardship cases, because if they don't, then you just get landlords avoiding that by giving termination notices without grounds or coming up with some other grounds for terminating. So there is still work to be done on the moratorium.
Of course. Now, you know, we've seen that one of the real difficulties here is, so let me paint you a scenario, Chris, that, okay, I'm a landlord. I go to my bank and I say my tenant has asked for a rent reduction or a holiday. I've negatively geared the property. I'd like my mortgage to be put on hold for 6 months. The bank agrees. What they do though is that they capitalise the interest payments.
So, yes.
So you're going to pay compound interest. You're going to pay interest on the interest at the end of that 6 months, and you've got to catch up that interest. Okay, that's one challenge. The tenant. And this is going to hinge on, and again, depends how this plays out, whether they get a rental reduction for that period of time, or whether they get, you know, an offset where, you know, your rent's $400 a week, we'll make it $200 a week for 6 months, but then at the end of that, we're going to put it back on, as opposed to a reduction or a holiday. So there are so many variables here.
That number of variables times the 2.3 million yes. rental households in Australia. I think at this point, and I don't think we really could have ever relied on the real estate agents and the landlords being able to coordinate some sort of rent relief in a fair way that deals with the particular circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think really it is for government to step in and mandate a reduction in rents and for what it's worth, a reduction in interest as well. Mm-hmm. And you could reduce both things to zero. Government could reduce both things to zero for the duration of the pandemic. And I think that the key principle, or the key aim that the government should be keeping in mind is how to keep households in their homes, yes. and that's what the eviction moratorium does, but also how to keep income in households. And households have really been hit on their income very hard by the decimation of the service sector, and there's been a huge reduction in household incomes because of responses to the COVID-19 pandemic. And government's trying to tip a little bit of income back in. They're trying to replace incomes through things like JobSeeker and JobKeeper. But as they tip income into households, it makes sense also to address the flow of money out of households, and the two big items there are rent and interest payments.
So, Chris, hi, it's Paul here. Based on that conversation, then, do you think that we should be advocating, or are you advocating that the federal government should actually be legislating for banks and renters to stop charging customers in this current time?
Yeah, the legislative power that can most readily be used is at the state level. State and territory governments could be legislating to say, for the duration of the pandemic, rents will be reduced to, it could be zero or it could be some fraction of what they are. And there could be legislation, and it might be required at the federal level in this regard because the Commonwealth has power over banking, but also reducing interest on home lending to zero or some fraction of what is usually due for the duration of the pandemic. So that sort of mandated legal response that suspends or reduces rents and suspends or reduces interest payments would be part of a strategy of keeping income in households. And I think that's what's necessary considering the big reduction in household incomes that have been affected through responses to COVID-19. And it would also more fairly or more equitably deal with the real cost that this pandemic has inflicted on the economy in terms of lost goods and services, lost production.
Yeah, so I get the fact we need to try. If we've got income that's going down, then we need to minimise the outgoings. Is there anywhere?
Exactly. I think that's the principle.
Is there anywhere in the world that's actually done that yet?
Well, in Europe, we've seen France and Italy and Spain they've suspended. All of them have suspended mortgage interest in some degree, and France, as I understand it, has also suspended rent payments. So that strategy of stopping the outflow of income from households has been affected elsewhere, and it's something that is being called for in other countries, particularly across the United States. There is a big movement for the suspension of rent and interest as an emergency response to the crisis. And I think it's equitable too, because that outflow of particularly rental income, I mean, that's 2.5 million households that have, and it's $40 billion a year that comes out of those households. And it goes into a much smaller number of other households, landlord households, and they are higher income and higher wealth. There is, again, that outflow of interest payments from those landlord households, that could be dealt with too by an interest suspension.
Look, it is a really complex area, and I think, you know, I think back, you know, I bought a property, I'll even a year or two ago, but the landlord I had before that I'd had for 10 years and he was fantastic. And I know that if I was in the situation there now where I asked him for a rent reduction, he would do it. But he is, you know, he's not a unicorn, but he is the exception. And just equally, on the other side, there are lots of landlords who'd say they've had tenants that have done awful things to their property. But we need to find a solution to this because, you know, what the government is doing, the federal government are doing in terms of income support, you know, whether it's JobKeeper, JobSeeker, and in terms of supporting businesses, you know, some of the power companies are coming to the... energy companies coming to the party, you know. I thought it was quite innovative saying, look, if your energy usage has gone down by, I think it was 60%, we're going to help you out, you know. Because at the end of the day, if we don't allow people, you know, if people become homeless, they place themselves at greater risk, you know, in a health sense, in a mental health sense and all the way. And who is the landlord going to rent that house to in the interim anyway, if they leave? So
yeah, that's right.
We've got to get a solution. We've got to get a solution. Why do you think it's taking so long, you know, for governments to actually come up with a solution?
I think the situation we're in at the moment, having left it to landlords and agents to organise it themselves or to sit down and have a chat, which I think is the Prime Minister and the Housing Minister said during the week. That hasn't worked. It's a disorganised sector. There's lots of small players in it. And to be frank, far too many of them are greedy and blinkered. And this has been there's a culture problem around housing investment in Australia, and I think we've encouraged this idea of getting ahead through property investment. And there are people who are too many landlords who take this view that rent should just flow to them, regardless of what else is happening in the economy.
Yeah.
And that's been I think we've seen that most starkly in the messages from agents and landlords for tenants to hit up their superannuation funds, which is an outrageous suggestion.
And wasn't that shocking?
And
wasn't
it great, Chris, that ASIC basically put not a shot across the bow, they put a shot midships into the real estate institutes and said, you need to tell your members that you can't be advising tenants to access their superannuation. That's financial advice. You're not financial advisors. Keep doing that, you'll get fined and you'll go to jail. I thought that was fantastic.
It was. But even if a financial, even the idea of a financial advisor saying to someone,
"Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, hit up your own relatively modest savings in order to keep paying someone else's." What they would regard as their superannuation. Yeah. That sort of there has been, I think, a real revelation of a dog-eat-dog, one person ahead of another sentiment in that sector that has been quite disgraceful, really.
The biggest dog doesn't always win the fight. So... Look, we've actually run out of time, Chris. I'm sorry about that. We'd love to have you back on in a few weeks. I know you're working on this issue really closely. Interested to see what sort of outcomes we get. So we'll get you back in a few weeks so you can speak to our community about how it's playing out.
Yeah, of course. Happy to.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.